Hey, this is Arv Zimmerman for the American Cancer Society. I used to smoke about 20 packs of cigarettes a day. But since I lost one of my lungs, I've cut my smoking in half.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday night means another wasted hour of weird shit with Josh Hadley. And, just like the Highlander, the only one, the cat.
I am the only one. I've cut off everyone else's heads.
And Charlie probably isn't joining us this week because, hey, pay your cable bill, you fucking asshole. He has no internet. Dipshit.
Oops.
So, if you don't pay your cable bill, though, you'll be forced to use the promo code WHAT at adamandeve.com using the free Wi-Fi at McDonald's. If you go to adamandeve.com and use the promo code WHAT, you would get 10 free gifts on top of whatever you order. You'd get 6 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, and free U.S. shipping. So even if you have to use someone else's free Wi-Fi, it's worth it to use the promo code WHAT at adamandeve.com. So we got a whole bunch of fucked up stuff. I was actually kind of debating. We've got a couple of things vying for...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And I'm not 100% sure where I should go. How about the Nevada Assemblywoman, Michelle Fiore, of course Republican, who thinks cancer is a fungus that you can flush out of your body? Did you see this one, Kat?
Yeah, there's science that has to happen that this person obviously doesn't know anything about.
Quote, if you have cancer, which I believe is a fungus, and we can put a pick line into your body and we're flushing, let's say, salt water, sodium carbonate through that line and flushing out the fungus, these are some procedures that are not FDA approved in America that are very inexpensive, cost effective. Unquote. What the fuck?
They're inexpensive and cost effective because they're not going to work, because that's not how cancer works. But whatever, crazy lady.
I have to wonder, though, Kat, how do you get to a position of power, even a low level of power, and be this stupid?
I don't know. We should probably ask Congress.
Here's what I'm talking about. This whole sodium bicarbonate, which is baking soda, can cure cancer, is a persistent cancer myth. This is being put out. This is not like the anti-vaxxers, but anti-cancerers. These are people who are saying the cancer industry is all built around a giant lie and I can cure cancer right now with baking soda. This goes beyond stupid into dangerous, doesn't it?
Yeah. This is going to get a lot of people killed. Although if you've got cancer, you're going to die anyway, but still this is not science. I don't even know what the benefit of lying like this is. I mean, I think you just have to be crazy and believe this shit in order to tout it so highly.
I think Michelle Fiore is beyond that kind of crazy, cuz she actually is no longer an assemblywoman. She's been removed from her position as the Republican majority leader because of the $1 million in tax liens she has against her. And for saying things like, quote, hot young little girls on campus need to be armed with guns to prevent themselves being raped, and that every citizen should have the right to defend him or herself from sexual assault.
Oh, that's why she got, like, did the Republicans just turn on her for being too much something? Like,
I think when you're too crazy for the Republicans, yes.
That's pretty crazy. Although I can see where they're going, because being able to defend yourself against rape is something that I'm sure most Republicans are not comfortable with.
Well, you know, not unless it's rape.
Yeah, which your body has a way of just shutting that whole thing down. So,
okay, then I wasn't going to go to this one next. Let's just go to the rape and becoming a mother due to it. Kat, do you know you are nothing more than a host for the baby, and you have no rights in this whatsoever, according to Virginia State Senator Steve Martin. Not the good Steve Martin, and not the one from the Godzilla movies. This is the asshole Republican Steve Martin. I just want to clear that up. I don't expect to be in the room, or will I do anything to prevent you from obtaining a contraceptive. However, once a child does exist in your womb, I am not going to assume a right to kill it just because the child's host, some refer to them as mothers, don't want it. Unquote. As a woman, your thoughts?
I don't know what, I'd say what decade this person lives in, but I'm not sure they live in this century. Like, this is sick and low, even for, like, Republican standards of dehumanizing women. Like, women have been property before, but, like, never have I ever heard women just referred to as something other than, like, not host. Even human. We're hosts for babies? Are they fucking retarded?
By that logic, then, doesn't the baby become a parasite?
I mean, I would agree with that no matter what, but it just makes me wonder, what does he consider women who aren't pregnant? Like, are they just potential hosts or what?
This kind of throwback Neanderthal thinking that, I mean, literally, when you think of a woman as nothing more than a host for a baby, she means nothing. And I mean she in the royal she, that women mean nothing to them. This is why I have such problems with female Republicans. How can you be a party to this, both literally and figuratively? Nonsense. How can you be a party to this? And then, Kat, I need to ask this in all seriousness. What is with the whole protecting the babies? You don't give a shit about people. So why are the babies so important? I'm not trying to say that babies are not important, okay? But I'm just saying, why do you give a fuck about them when they're not born, but as soon as they're born, you say, fuck you, you're on your own?
I don't understand. I legitimately don't understand. There are things I do understand, like preserving the future generation, and there's some religious aspect at play about every sperm is sacred, and every sperm is good, and every sperm is needed in your neighborhood. All life being sacred, I guess, but it's some really perverse way of taking religion and applying it to something that the world sees as precious and innocent and incapable of taking care of itself at the expense of everyone else, at the expense of an entire gender. Like, the fact that a baby is more important than the rights of half of the population of the fucking planet. This kind of logic is, I don't know what it is. It's not logic. It doesn't make any sense.
Isn't this the road to, like, eugenics and the road China's gone down where women have no value and only males matter? Isn't this sort of the beginning of a gender war?
It's not the beginning of a gender war. This person is way too crazy for people to really get too behind it. Obviously, since there was enough backlash for him to take that comment down and backtrack and talk about how everyone was just taking his comment out of context, obviously that didn't go over very well.
No, it didn't, but what about more crazy Republican stuff? How about the South Carolina Republican Party? If you've had sex before marriage, you don't get to be a Republican. Quote, you must favor and live up to abstinence before marriage. You must be faithful to your spouse. Your spouse cannot be a person of the same gender, and you are not allowed to favor any government action that would allow for civil unions of people of the same sex. You cannot now, from the moment you sign this pledge, look at pornography. To be a Republican in South Carolina, you have to now sign this pledge to be a member of the Republican South Carolina Party. Lawrence County, I don't know exactly how big that is or where exactly in South Carolina that is. Yeah, it's, yeah.
I personally love this idea because I feel like there will be no more Republicans in this county in South Carolina if they go with this. There just won't be. I think this is a great idea. They should all do this.
It's just insane when you think about it like that, though. You cannot even look at porn. And these are the same people, not these specific people, but Kat. A public polling national survey conducted between February 20th and February 22nd of this year found that Republican voters and Republican senators, 57%, are in favor of dismantling the Constitution and making Christianity the national religion.
Thank God they don't actually get to decide that.
They're backtracking something fierce, because remember for the last, five decades, the Republicans have all been about, this is what it says in the Constitution, you have to interpret it literally. Now they're saying, it's not doing what we want, we need to get rid of this thing and make it do what we want.
See, I wonder who they polled, because I know many Republicans. I live in the Midwest, it happens. I've never met anybody that fucking retarded before.
I have met a few. I was in line at the grocery store the other day, and the Globe or something like that has a cover of Obama on it, and it specifically says something like, Obama is legally insane, according to experts. I started laughing at this, and I pointed it out to the friend I was with. The clerk, he's maybe 16. 16 years old, got zits and everything, goes, I could have told you that 6 years ago. And I'm in Wisconsin. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, I've met, like, super diehard Republicans. I'm friends with some super diehard Republicans, but none of them actually say that they want Christianity to be the main religion, that we should just dismantle the Constitution in favor of the Ten Commandments instead. I've never met anybody like that. I wonder who the fuck they polled, because that's absurd. This just makes me crazy, because these are people who talk about how dangerous Sharia law is, even though there is less than 0% threat of anybody ever, like, enacting Sharia law in this country. But they want everything to be, like, a Christian dictatorship. And it's okay because it's a Christian dictatorship. And even though one of the primary foundations of the country is a freedom of religion, our ancestors came to this country for a freedom of religion. This country was founded for freedom of religion, but I guess we just don't need that anymore. It would just be better if we were all Christian, and then, you know, we wouldn't have to worry about liberals getting their way ever. I guess, is that what the logic is there? Kat, I don't understand.
No, Kat, you brought up a very, very interesting point. The reason that we fled as a people from England to come here was because they were oppressing us religiously. The exact kind of theocratic dictatorship that the settlers that came over here were fleeing is exactly what these people want to install. That's the irony of the whole thing. And you hit it perfectly.
It really makes no sense to me. Like, if you hate America and what America stands for and what America is so badly, just don't live here. Because clearly these are people who just fucking hate America.
They hate what America is. They love what America, in their mind, should be.
That's what I'm saying. They hate America. They hate America as it is, which is freedoms and all this other stuff. And we talk about how the terrorists hate us for our freedoms, but I think we hate us for our freedoms because we just can't stop trying to make our countrymen less free. We can't stop trying to create inequality where there shouldn't be. It's absolutely baffling.
The Christians and the Republicans are the same ones who want to make equality and use religion as a loophole. Did you read about the Idaho Republican Senator, Christy Perry, thinks that children should be able to die from faith healing because that is God's will? Children do die. I'm not trying to sound callous, but reformers want to act as if death is an anomaly, but it's not. It's a way of life. As you move out west, we tend to be much more independent people, and Idaho is a lot like that. Followers of Christ do not look to the government to help them at all. They're very self-sufficient and know how to take care of themselves. In Canyon County, people hunt to feed their families. They fish and they grow their own food. They are comforted by the fact that they know their child is in heaven if they die. If I want to let my child be with God, why is that wrong? Unquote. What she's saying is to penalize, because there's been a string of Idaho deaths of children where people were faith healing their kids instead of getting them a preventable cure at a hospital because, you know, God. She's trying to say the government is stepping on your rights as a religious person and as a Christian by putting you in jail for allowing your child to die from a completely preventable disease.
And you should be.
She's trying to say that that's the government overstepping their bounds and they are not respecting your freedom of religion because you as a faith healer or as like a Christian scientist, that's your faith. And if your child dies, then they die. The government has no right to step on you for that because they're then getting in the way of your religion.
I'm glad there aren't many people in the size of our country. I don't imagine there are that many people who are like this, but that there are any at all is really, really kind of disheartening because a child is someone who really has no control over their own life. Everything is decided for them by their parents, including their access to adequate health care. On the one hand, I understand how parents don't want the government telling them how to care for their child, but there has to be something in place to prevent children from being harmed. And if you're going to put your faith in a fucking faith healer who is going to take your money and not cure your child, and your child fucking dies, you should go to jail for being a fucking idiot.
Not like, according to Perry. According to Perry, followers of Christ have a First Amendment right to deny medical care to their children on religious grounds.
I have the right to let my child fucking suffer and die. I don't even have kids, and I'm offended by this.
If we're going to take her religious grounds argument to its ridiculous extreme, what about Sharia law? Then isn't that what they mutilating women and beheading non-believers? Come on, you don't have a right to deny them their faith on religious grounds, right? What about hardcore-ass Satanists? I'm going to sacrifice a kid to my God. You have no right to stop me. Religious grounds!
Yeah, it's like people picking and choosing stuff based on what they interpret as their religion. I mean, I don't honestly know what to even say to this. I just feel terrible for these kids who are brought up in this environment where they're going to be in pain and suffer and then potentially die because their parent doesn't believe in taking them to a fucking real doctor to get them actual medicine. This is so fucking backward. Like, we invented penicillin. There's no reason for people to die of these illnesses anymore.
Crouching it in the religious debate is exactly the right move for them, because then it gets us to debate, well, at what point does it stop being your religion and start being the law? Then they have the obvious argument of going, well, then the law is stepping on our religion. It's getting us to debate something that we should not even be debating because it's stupid. So it's actually kind of smart in how they put it together, really.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, we're very much for the freedom of Christian religions in this country. So we don't want to step on religions if we don't have to, Christian religions, if we don't have to. And it's really hard to, you know, argue with that when we are so into our freedom of religion, because it's important. But the freedom of religion is something that we should talk about insofar as people's safety and such and so forth, because obviously if children are dying left and right out of one church, there's a problem, and the problem is that church.
Exactly, and you do not get First Amendment protections when a death is involved, ever. I mean, seriously, you never. Homicide, there's a reason that homicide, and that's what this is homicide, is one of the only laws on the books that has no statute of limitations and that there is no leeway on. That homicide is homicide. Death is death. There is no constitutional protection against causing death. And that includes religious grounds.
Fulfilling some idea of what they think their God wants, that they would just let their children suffer and die. I just think there is no God that evil.
Welcome to Heart Attack. I am Hart D. Fisher. With me, of course, is Josh Hadley, and you are now in the middle of the Heart Attack segment of What the Fuck. And man, shit is popping off. There was a dude stabbed to death out in front of my local video hut the last week on Sunday night. That's not the only violence we've had around that area in that same exact spot on Avenue 60 in Figueroa. Man was stabbed to death and two innocent girls were shot, and a high-speed car chase involving guns and drugs has ended there. So this is where our buddy Jose Huizar wants to put bike lanes, right here, right in that spot. He wants to remove a vehicle lane and put in motherfucking bike lanes. And oh, all those people out there that have been supporting this shit, guess what? There's new laws they're trying to pass in Los Angeles. They're trying to pass a law in which everybody will be required to wear a helmet on a bicycle. Everyone, including children, adults, everybody. And they must have reflective clothing. And if they don't have reflective clothing or a helmet, you're going to get a fine, $25. Fees go up and up and up. So guess why they're putting in all those bike lanes, folks? A new revenue source. They're looking to tax you and going to want to register your bikes. Next thing up, you know, they're going to want to do insurance. But man, the violence around here is just crazy. And then Josh, you were telling me about this thing with the cops. I didn't even really see this thing where apparently some LAPD officers got into it with some homeless folks, and one of them shot the homeless guy, an unarmed homeless guy, and they pulled the old, oh, he was going for my gun. Did you see that video, Josh?
I did. First of all, the homeless guy was not going for your goddamn gun. He's going for my gun seems to be what every cop says. Every justifiable or potential justifiable shooting is always, he's going for my gun. Apparently everyone in this goddamn country, Hart, wants a cop's gun.
Well, I'll tell you something, folks. I watched that video. And as a martial artist and as a security professional who worked as a security person at a rock and roll club where we had knife fights at my club, I got punched in the mouth throwing a guy out. You know, shit happened. These guys are not getting enough training. They're flat out just not trained well. I watched, it was a clusterfuck watching those six cops trying to take out two skinny ass homeless people. They don't know what they're doing. They really don't. They have no hand-to-hand skills whatsoever, and that leaves them with one option. If you have no hand-to-hand skills, if you don't know how to use your baton, except to pose when there's a crowd gathering because you just shot an unarmed man, you need more training. The officer who had dropped his baton and then went to go hand-to-hand with this guy, he didn't know what he was doing. Those other guys who grabbed that skinny other, I don't know if it was a girl or a child homeless person, but what the fuck are you idiots doing? You don't know what you're doing. They need more training. And I've been reading here in Los Angeles and Pasadena how they're having a real problem because City Hall keeps cutting back on the policemen's training budget. They're getting less and less training from who? Oh, City Hall. I keep saying we get all angry about these cops and we want to focus on the police officers themselves. Well, guys, they're doing the bidding of the people in City Hall. They're doing the bidding of your mayor. They're doing the bidding of their leadership. So we have to go after the leadership. And now, apparently,
this isn't 100% confirmed yet, that the reasoning. A couple of masked guys started unloading on LAPD officers. Supposedly, they said it was for how they handled that homeless guy that you brought up. It was just like in New York, the guy that shot those two cops outside the donut shop, what he told them was, you kill one of ours, we kill two of yours. It seems to be that that's the theory that they're going under here, is that these guys were saying stuff about how you kill one of ours, we kill two of yours. There's a building war between cops and civilians, that every time a cop kills an unarmed person, some nutball is going to go out and kill a couple of cops, which just keeps escalating.
And that's a bad way to go. And it comes back to what I was saying is we're being set up for this. We're being set up for a confrontation. The police are being set up to confront us. We're being set up to confront them. They're passing all kinds of new laws to put people in prison. They want to put jail sentences to copyright infringement. There's a lot of scary stuff happening, and that's coming from the top down, folks. It's coming from the leadership of the country. It's coming from the politicians. It's the people that we don't want to talk about. It's the people we want to ignore. In Chicago, this came up while I was there, while I was in Chicago at Mad Mobster. This story broke, and I can't believe it's not all over mainstream media. I can't believe that it broke in The Guardian. Yet again, another story about a Chicago center that is being called the Chicago Guantanamo Bay. And this is a secret facility that political prisoners were taken to get them out of the system. And it turns out that there were some Guantanamo-style interrogations. There was a Chicago detective who worked at Guantanamo Bay, who was in Guantanamo Bay doing these kinds of interrogations. And now now that law enforcement officers in our country doing this to Americans.
It's even worse than that, though, because like at least in Guantanamo, they were trying to get information. Here, this Guardian article points out they were trying to get confessions out of people, even when the police and the interrogators had in their possession evidence that proved that they didn't do it. They were still trying to get a confession out of a man they knew was innocent.
According to this article, there's allegations stemming from interviews and court documents concerning five Chicago suspects that suggest this detective, Zuli, and his colleagues had shackled suspects to walls for extended periods, torture, threatened their family members, and perhaps even planted evidence on them. The point was to, quote, yield confessions, like Joff said, even while ignoring potentially exculpatory evidence. And these are political prisoners. A lot of these prisoners are political. They bring them in and they drop out of the system. Lawyers know about this place. They know about this area. It's something that has happened over and over again, and it's right in middle America, guys. That's Chicago. That's a big, big, and I'll tell you, I'm fucking Chicago's cops. They scare the shit out of me, man. You don't fuck with Chicago cops. And then to find out they got a secret facility where people can disappear for a while, that's pretty fucking scary, man. And this is what's happening with our police force being militarized. And they shouldn't be. They're citizens like us. They're only guys that put on a blue outfit and a badge for X amount of hours a day. Then they come back in the population and they're us. And we have to have a conversation, a social conversation about what is happening with these police. What is happening with these secret areas? How many more secret zones are there? Are there in Chicago?
There's another question here. Why would you want a confession out of a man that you had evidence did not do the crime you were suspecting them of? Is this all about, even with political prisoners, well, we got to get so many confessions, we got to get numbers? If these cops, this article makes it clear, they had more evidence that this person didn't do it, but they still said, confess, nigger!
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's pretty frightening.
Why? I think the question we need to ask is, why would you do that other than a drunken thugocracy? That you want to instill fear. There's no reason to get a confession out of a man you know is innocent. There's no reason other than you are a sadistic scumbag.
Yeah, I mean, this detective is Richard Zuley, Zuley. He's a Chicago police detective from 1977 to 2007. He won awards for getting confessions, even as his suspects alleged physical abuse and manipulated evidence in their cases. Similar tactics were on display when Zuley, a Navy Reserve lieutenant and later lieutenant commander, took charge of a brutal military interrogation. This is some scary shit, guys. We need to examine the idea. There's an article about an Texas town that has hired a group of ex-Navy SEALs to be their police force. And to me, this privatized police force of ex-Navy SEALs, Navy SEALs are lethal fucking weapons, folks. If you don't understand.
These people are also not answerable to the law. These people, I looked into this, they have not been sworn in front of a judge. They don't have the legal authority to arrest anyone other than a citizen's arrest. These are not cops.
And you got to understand their training. They're trained for psychops, for, you know, special psychological operations that fuck with people's minds. SEALs are an other type of warrior. They're a warrior. You don't want a fucking warrior as your police force, because war equals death and mayhem and destruction. These are men that have been trained to kill motherfuckers, all right? They're serious, serious dudes. I have gotten to train with some Navy SEALs, have gotten to grapple with a few every once in a while. And believe me, man, when you're fighting a dude like that, you feel it immediately. Those dudes are like carved out of iron. There's something else about these special forces operatives, and their modus of operandi is to kill. It isn't about peacekeeping. So the idea that you're going to get these killers who are supposed to be the baddest of the bad, dude, it's some really fucked up shit. And they're trained for psychological operations. They're trained to manipulate things and manipulate situations to their own benefit and their own game. And that's what they're supposed to do. That's the idea.
Even worse, though, is how it's being sold to the American public. The right wing jumped all over this Texas thing about how, look at how crime is so far down and we should privatize all of the police forces. What they leave out are those things that you and I both mentioned. These people are not trained as peacekeepers. They are not sworn to the law. And they leave out the fact that brutality claims have skyrocketed. And claims of people having their civil rights violated have skyrocketed. But the right wing, who are the only ones reporting on this, are going, this is what we need to do, you know, to get America back in check. They're selling you a pile of bullshit and telling you that this is cake.
That's right. That's right, man. And on that note, we're gonna wrap this up. I'm Hart Fisher. You can find me at Heart Attack Radio on Twitter. You can also find me as at @Hart_Fisher on Twitter. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio. And don't forget, folks, check out American Horrors, my full horror channel. It's a real TV channel, guys. It isn't a YouTube channel. We got commercials and everything, but none of our movies are interrupted with commercial interruptions. We've got a lot of cool stuff premiering. Check it out. I hope your headache goes away, and I hope you're feeling a little better after this show.
Of law enforcement, and you think of law enforcement training, do you think that there's a movie that would sum up how cops should be trained to act? I mean, do you think they should be trained with sensitivity training or by watching clips from movies?
Well, I don't know, because if every cop just watched Police Academy, I think that would solve a lot of problems.
That's a possibility. What about Roadhouse?
I've never seen Roadhouse, so I have no comment.
Really?
What can I say? I have never seen it. This is not a crime against humanity.
All right, well, in Roadhouse, Patrick Swayze is a bouncer, and he teaches the rules on how to be nice.
Sounds awesome.
People who really want to have a good time won't come to a slaughterhouse. And we've got entirely too many troublemakers here. Too many 40-year-old adolescents, felons, power drinkers, and trustees of modern chemistry. It's going to change.
Man, that sure sounds good. But a lot of the guys who come in here, we can't handle one-on-one. Even two-on-one.
Don't worry about it. All you have to do is follow three simple rules. One, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected. Two, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. And three, be nice.
Come on.
If somebody gets in your face and calls you a cocksucker, I want you to be nice.
Okay.
Ask him to walk. Be nice. If he won't walk, walk him. But be nice. If you can't walk him, one of the others will help you, and you'll both be nice. I want you to remember that it's a job. It's nothing personal.
Uh-huh. Being called a cocksucker impersonal?
No. It's two nouns combined to elicit a prescribed response.
I wonder if somebody calls my mama a whore.
Is she? I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
Well, how are we supposed to know when that is?
You won't. I'll let you know. You are the bouncers. I am the cooler. All you have to do is watch my back and each other's.
This is now, these clips from the movie are literally being used to teach police officers in New York how to, quote, be nice. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, Kat. I truly don't.
I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, this is, this wouldn't have been my first choice for,
Training?
Training. But I like the message about being nice.
Until it's time to not be nice?
And then that gets a little vague. Not gonna lie, that's kind of fucking vague.
Do you think it's dangerous to use movies as a literal training tool for NYPD cops who already don't have the best reputation?
No. If the message is right, there should be no reason why you can't use a movie.
Okay.
As long as you're not going, this is what your situations are gonna look like. It's gonna look like James Bond car chases and bullshit like that. But if the message is right, then what does it matter where the message comes? Well, I mean, if the message comes from Hitler, that's one thing, but it shouldn't matter if the message comes from a movie or not.
What if the message comes from a book? A book like 1984?
Well, then, 2 + 2 = 5.
Well, Washington State has recently rejected a new type of policing software that Los Angeles is currently using that literally will look through your social media posts and assign you a threat level in case cops ever need to come to your house. For instance, if you use the word rage a lot, or if you have lots of anti-police posts, or lots of pro-gun posts, you are actually going to now be flagged in the police system as a potential threat and given a different threat assessment. So before they even get to your house, they know whether this guy hates cops, he loves guns, and uses the word rage a lot. We need to come in screaming. Is this not a dangerously Orwellian ideal right here? That, so, like I said, Washington State rejected this as, no, our cops will not have this. Los Angeles is kind of the testing ground right now to see just, you know, how this might play out. Is there any way this blows up?
I don't know, dude. I can't predict the fucking future. That's Orwell's job.
He
really did. It is inherently wrong. I understand why they're going for it. Like, I can understand why they think there's benefits to it, but there is no way that this isn't some sort of... If the information is all public, then it's not a violation of privacy, but it certainly is not going to be in any way accurate.
It's still kind of data mining. I mean, yes, all this is public information, but it's kind of data mining. Because the police, quote, want to know what their officers are about to step into. Because I might bitch on Facebook a whole bunch, they're going to come in with their guns drawn? Come on, you cannot police people like this. This is not accurate. Kat, I think you can attest that how you act on social media is not how you act in real life.
Right, because I wouldn't have a job otherwise.
Among other things.
Among other things.
So I think this is dangerous. This is a very dangerous road, and I respect the Washington State Assembly for saying no. Washington State will not allow their police officers to do this. And of course the cops in Washington are bitching that the assembly is, quote, handcuffing them from doing their jobs and putting them in more danger.
Honestly, cops have never needed this before. Why would you need this now? What? I mean, like, how did... Again, they've never needed this before. There's no reason why they need it now. It is not a need. It is something that you think is going to help. But the misinformation that can be passed along could have really, really terrible fucking results.
Speaking of misinformation, how about the EPA? You know, that thing that the Republicans all want to completely dismantle, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
they hate facts.
Now that the Republicans control the House and the Senate, they have new rules for the EPA that says scientists are no longer allowed to advise the EPA. Their new rule says, quote, board members may not participate in advisory activities that directly or indirectly involve review or evaluation of their own work, unquote. What that means is if a scientist puts out a paper or a study that says this is happening, they are not allowed to inform the EPA about that because that is seen as a double standard. Now, at the same time, the Republicans have relaxed rules on the EPA about lobbyists. So you can lobby the EPA to get rid of rules that hurt your company, but if you're a scientist, you are not allowed to advise the EPA on things that they might actually need to know.
Is this just a taunt for Obama to veto it? Is that all this is? Because this is some fucked up shit, and you know the president's going to veto it, so why even bother trying to pass something like this to begin with?
Well, the White House has already said it will veto it. If this gets passed, they are vetoing it. But
yeah.
But doesn't this prove just once and again just how in the pocket of big business the Republicans are?
No shit.
Our bosses are sick of all the regulations, damn it.
My purse doesn't like this anymore.
No, it doesn't. You know, but then again, lobbyists in North Carolina now they can legally give senators and congresspeople pussy, and there's no fine for this anymore. The North Carolina State Ethics Committee found that sex has no sexual favors or sexual gifts are not a thing of value. So legally, this now opens the loophole that you want to lobby a congressman? You can buy him a hooker, and it's not considered a bribe because the sex she gives legally has no value in North Carolina. So you can now legally buy and sell sex to congresspeople, and it's not illegal for a lobbyist.
It's not illegal, but I don't imagine many people will look on it very well either. It's fucked up that it's legal but honestly, I think even if someone were caught with it and it became a scandal, it would still be a scandal.
But isn't that kind of sick that you can now legally buy prostitutes for a congressman that you want to buy?
Yeah. The whole everything about lobbying is fucked up. The fact that it now includes sexual favors is just really, really, really fucked up.
You want to talk about fucked up? How about, I think this is an overreaction. The owner of the Brooklyn-based Maraschino Cherry Company killed himself when a drug raid was executed on his cherry factory, and they found 80 pounds of marijuana and hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash in a hidden entrance in his door. Is that worth shooting yourself in the head over? Seriously, 80 pounds of marijuana? That's not that much in the long run. Really, it's not.
And marijuana is getting looked upon more and more favorably. Honestly, I don't think I could ever kill myself to begin with, but I certainly wouldn't do it over getting caught with marijuana.
And he did this during the raid. After the cops broke down, he probably knew he was about to be busted. He locked himself in his private bathroom, yelled to his sister, quote, "Take care of my kids," and blew his brains all over the bathroom.
That is definitely, I think, an overreaction, but maybe he really, really didn't want to go to jail.
For 80 pounds of marijuana, I don't think he was going to go to jail. That's the kind of shit you can plea bargain out of.
Well, maybe some people can. Maybe he knew he couldn't.
This is a reflection of the drug war. I think the drug war has been a failure on every conceivable level, Kat, okay? The drug war has never worked. All the drug war has done is boost the prison population and the fines given, but it has done nothing to actually halt drugs. We need to have drug programs, we need to have drug education, and we need to legalize non-serious drugs like marijuana. I think the drug war is an abject failure. Just this week, Kat, Alaska made recreational marijuana legal. I guess now literally a baked Alaska. Hi-yo!
Ba-dum-ts.
Do you think that the drug war, especially with marijuana, as you put it, now being seen much more favorably, do you think the drug war is going to get worse or better as we progress, whether we keep the Republican House and Senate or not? Because they're the ones who, ironically enough, are pro-drug war, but hate the fact that the drug war costs so much.
I think the shift, at least with marijuana, is going in the right direction. I think it's going to be a while before we can start talking about other drugs other than marijuana. But we might get there. We might get there in the next couple years, maybe. Because I think we've got to nail 50 states with marijuana before we can really get too much into the other drugs. But I really think, yeah, that the drug war has been a colossal failure. It's long been proven that it unfavorably targets minorities who are more likely to use certain drugs and lessens the heat on drugs more likely to be favored by white people. It's all over, just not a good thing. And the better we take care of ourselves, instead of just imprisoning people, spending some of this money not on imprisoning people, but on going through more stringent programs and more education, maybe we'll be sending less of our money to cartels in Mexico and wherever else we're sending our money to cartels. And there's so much, the root of all problems is in some level education. And that, I think, is the best thing that we can do, is to educate not just like kids about don't do drugs, but to educate the populace as a whole on what the real dangers of drugs are.
Not just education, though, but treatment as well. Treatment and prison are a big problem. A recent study found that only 20% of people in drug treatment programs in prison or in jail are successful, whereas almost 60% of treatment programs are successful after 3 years for people on the outside. That when all you've got to look forward to is more prison, you don't have anything, you don't have a reason to get clean, do you?
Right.
So we need to stop imprisoning people and start treating them. I mean, yes, they are committing crimes and they are part of a perpetual system, as you pointed out, with the drug cartels and whatnot. You can't just let them off scot-free. I don't agree with that. I'm not all hippie liberal on this. But I'm saying the drug war, as we are currently fighting it, is a losing war. Hell, the fact that we look at it as a war is part of the problem, Kat.
Because we're going into battle, we're not going into it like a doctor helping a patient.
We're not going in to fix a problem, we're going in to eradicate something.
Right, and we can't eradicate the problem by shooting at it, so we sort of don't know what to do.
Well, there's also the racist angle, too.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
77% of people arrested or prosecuted for drug crimes are non-white. That's a shockingly high number when you consider that over 40% of the people who do drugs are white. That says they're just using this drug war as a way to get all of the brown people off the street.
Which in turn has a lot of economic and socioeconomic effects where, hey, we keep telling black people to get out of the ghetto and pick themselves up by their bootstraps. And God, every time somebody says that, I just want to punch a baby.
Unless you're in Cirque du Soleil, that doesn't work.
Right. Have so many drug problems going on in certain areas. I don't know. It's just sort of like we lock up people for minor drug charges and then wonder why there's so many problems in the area where that person came from. If somebody from a ghetto is caught with marijuana and then goes to prison for it.
Do you realize how lopsided the drug laws are? That now this is obviously not straight across because judges have different sentencing rules. But on average, a criminal caught with a trunk full of marijuana will spend 2.5 years longer in prison than a man who rapes a woman. So we are penalizing pot more than we're penalizing rape. Something's wrong with that.
Very much so.
There are people in prison right now in the 3 states that have legalized pot. Why is there not a backdoor program? Why is there not, okay, it's now legal. Why are there still people serving 7 to 10 year sentences for convictions that were handed down to them literally months before it became legal? Should we not go and backdoor these people into out of prison, into getting them out of prison?
Because prison, it destroys your life. There's so many problems with people trying to regain a foothold in society after they go to prison, and they just can't because they'll be discriminated against, because people don't necessarily understand why they went to prison and how harsh was the penalty compared to the crime and all of this other stuff. And people are just afraid to hire somebody with a criminal record. That's why they check it. So, it just destroys lives. It destroys families.
And I understand if you kill somebody, you break into their home, you beat them up, you rape them, you know, something like that, you should be in prison. For growing pot? For selling pot? You shouldn't be in prison for that.
So I really feel like in the next couple of years, maybe we'll start to see a bunch of appeals come through for these really long-term sentences going, hey, my client was accused of something that is no longer a crime. Can I, you know, get a reduced sentence or something? Because
time served.
Yeah, like a lot of this shit just doesn't make sense anymore. And why are we going to punish or continue to enforce a punishment for something that isn't a crime?
When we say drugs, like what you and I are talking about right now, we're talking about pot and heroin and cocaine and stuff like that. What about all the over-the-counter drugs? Why is it legal to kill somebody by selling OxyContin, but it's illegal to kill somebody by selling them heroin? Do you realize that there are more deaths from over-the-counter drugs than from all illegal drugs? That's counting crack, heroin, cocaine, etc. Per year, there are more deaths from over-the-counter drugs than there are from illegal drugs. Why are we not looking at the pharmaceutical companies? If we're going to have a true drug war, that's the drug war I will back.
Is this before or after it's turned into meth? Because that's the area I'm from.
The pharmaceutical companies should be held to the same standard. That's what I'm talking about. The pharmaceutical companies kill more people than your corner drug dealer. So why are they not being prosecuted? If you're going to prosecute the guy on the street, why not prosecute the CEO of a pharma company?
Well, I mean, I think we have bigger, well, maybe not bigger problems, but I have other problems with pharmaceutical companies. But with proper usage, these medicines shouldn't, well, no, that's not necessarily true, is it either?
But these medicines aren't being used properly, though. John
Right.
Oliver did a beautiful expose a week or two ago about how doctors are prescribing these things for things that they are not meant for, because the pharmaceutical companies give them a bonus for
how much
of our product you sell. It doesn't matter. Maybe it'll help that person. Maybe it'll kill them. But, you know, basically when you get a prescription from a doctor nowadays, you are the beta tester for that, whether you know it or not. You're the beta tester for this.
Well, I certainly hope the medicine that I'm on hope it's been taken before, because it's just amoxicillin. I have a sinus infection. That's all I've got going.
I saw you post on Facebook about that. Yeah. We go after the drug cartels, and I think we should. The cartels are a major problem, but we don't go after the pharmaceutical companies. And that's the problem.
There are a million reasons why we should be going after the pharmaceutical companies.
Since you are straight edge outside of your sinus infection, where would people find you?
You can find me not jonesing for drugs, because I don't do any. You can find me over on the social medias, on Twitter, at LabyrinthCat, and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And I've actually been getting a lot of followings there lately. So yay, you people are following me. It's very sweet. You can also find my other shows, Thespian Talk, on rtgomer.com and Nerd to the Third Power, which is over on Channel Awesome and This Week in Geek. And as of the recording, this very recording, we are now also on iTunes.
Awesome. And our the resident druggie on this show, unfortunately, couldn't make this one. Otherwise, he might have had some interesting things, because you and I more or less agreed.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure, Charlie, we really needed him for this episode.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Go to 1201beyond.com, buy some t-shirts, click on some links. Just, you know, support the shows, support Kat, support I, maybe support I, support me, maybe help Charlie pay his goddamn bill so he's here next week. God damn it. I get a call from him 10 minutes before the show. Oh, hey, my cable's been shut off and I can't afford to get it turned back on. I'm like, oh, you. So, try and have a good night, guys, and send Charlie all your hate.
Thank you. What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.